All right, we're back here on First Up. Aaron Kurolnik, Carlo Colaiacvo got heated in the previous segment talking about the Tua Tagovailoa situation, where I was not minimizing concussions. Some people texting in 10:50:50 saying I know nothing about concussions or something to that effect. I can't really
find Look, I don't think right it's...
I was not minimizing anything. What I was saying, Coco, was making a determination on Tua's status for the rest of the year is premature.
I don't think it's premature at all.
Okay. But that's your opinion.
That's your opinion versus my opinion.
There's still 13 weeks left in the NFL
season. I just truly believe that there's no way the NFL is allowing Tua to return after the scene.
Millions of people
got to watch, and all the criticism that the NFL is going to face, the Miami Dolphins are facing, the investigation that is coming out with the neurological doctor being fired, the lawsuits that are going to come from this. And regardless of all that stuff, the health of Tua Tagovailoa for the rest of his life is the most important thing.
Completely agree. We'll see how it plays out.
I honestly don't think the NFL allows him to come back.
Well, he's not playing this week, I can tell you that. Who is playing this week? Well, a lot of teams in Major League Baseball, including the Toronto Blue Jays, who have a chance to clinched the number one spot in the American League wild card with a combination of wins and losses by Seattle. The magic number is 2. Let's bring in our MLB analyst Steve Phillips into the conversation. What's going on, Steve? How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you.
So, good morning, Steve.
2. The magic number is 2. So let's work under the assumption that the Jays get it done, which I think is a safe one. Sets it up for Friday night, where the Jays hosting most likely the Seattle Mariners. I think that's kind of how it's going to shake out. John Schneider did intimate that Alek Manoah would start in game 1. How do you think the rest of the rotation will shake out, assuming things go according to plan?
Well, I think that the likelihood is that Kevin Gausman pitches game 2. However, you know, he came out of the game yesterday after 3 innings with a cut on his finger. In a normal situation, he probably could have kept pitching, that it only bothers him when he throws his split, but that's the problem. That's his strongest pitch. Yeah, and so he does have time for it to heal. He gets a laser treatment done between starts on his fingers to make sure to avoid these sorts of cuts and issues and blisters that can crop up. So we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, that during the course of the week, that's going to be critical because they need him. I think he is the game 2 starter. I think the more intriguing question is who gets to start in game 3. If there is a game 3, remember, mm-hmm. It's the best out of 3 series, all of them being played in Toronto, who gets that start? And I know that Berríos has been better at home than he's been on the road, but I think that Ross Stripling probably gets the ball for me in that situation, if I'm the one making the decision. He's been the more consistent pitcher. He's been the guy who I think has been more effective during the course of the year and more predictable. And I think that predictability is important. Now, if something happens early where Stripling gets knocked out and it doesn't look good or he doesn't look right, then I bring Berríos in to back him up and try to run it that way. But I think that you know, ideally, you want it to be Manoah and then Gausman and then end it and then get yourself ready for the division series.
Well, I think the Blue Jays' focus right now should be taking care of business, lock up that number one seed so they can properly set up the rotation that has Manoah in it, because you'd hate to enter a scenario where you go into the last game of the season, you got to pitch Manoah, and then you're possibly entering your playoff series not using him. Because, I mean, does Manoah get laser treatment on his fingers too? What this guy's doing in the month of September has been out of this world. He set the record for the lowest September ERA in a season at 0.88. That's how dominant this guy's been at this time of year. I mean, they start a 3-game series tonight. It's, you know, 3 games left in the season. I know that AK mentioned the combination of you know, the number 2, 1 win and 1 loss for the Mariners, but how important is it for them to get that, you know, that clinching scenario so that they have Manoah available for them in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely critical. I mean, it's one thing to qualify for home field advantage, but if you don't have your ace available in it, then, you know, you're in that sort of darned if you do and darned if you don't. I mean, you know, you want to do it, but you're going to be a weaker team in that series. And so I think you're right. I think they've got to go out there and just take care of business right now. They're playing great baseball.
Can they find a way to get Boston to be a playoff team?
Yeah, thank you.
They dominated
can
Boston
they just
this
envision,
year?
Exactly. Can they just envision that they're playing Boston for the next 3 games? Because I think that certainly has given it played well, 16-3 this year against Boston, the most wins against any one opponent in a season that they've ever had.
And they've outscored them 125-55.
Yeah, that's the thing. The run differential that Toronto's been able to put up this year has been all of the games against Boston. I mean, they just pounded them all season long. And so, I think these next few days are critical. Seattle, you know, Robbie Ray got dinged around pretty good, giving up, I think, 4 home runs in the game yesterday. And so, you know, I think that they're not playing their best baseball. They're hoping to get Julio Rodriguez back here in the next 3 games, back in the lineup to see what he can do to be a factor to just get ready for the postseason. But, you know, magic number's 2. Blue Jays win 2 games, then they don't have to worry about anything. If they win 1 and 1 Seattle loss, it takes care of it for them as well. And I suspect they're still going to hold on to that home field advantage.
Yeah, it certainly appears that way. Our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips, our guest here on First Up. The Jays have also locked into the Astros side of the AL postseason bracket, meaning they will not see Aaron Judge in the playoffs. And, I mean, we saw 61 go down. Was that on Thursday night? I can't even keep that. Yeah, it was Thursday night.
You were at the game,
right? That's right. So, I mean, I think when you look at the Aaron Judge situation now, he's got 4 games left to hit 1 home run. These games, I mean, irrelevant for the
Yankees.
But
they got to stop walking them.
Well, there's a lot of walking.
Like, what's going on?
They're taking on the Texas Rangers for these games, Steve. How do you think the Rangers are going to approach the Judge situation here?
Well, I would have thought that Baltimore would have approached it, too, with a little more aggression and aggressiveness to go after him. But Texas has nothing to play for. They're 66-92. Even if they lose all 3 games, they're not going to have a 100-loss season. So they're, you know, there's nothing really to protect there. So it just comes down to the matchups and where they go with it. And look, at this point, this is more about what's going on between Aaron Judge's ears than it is necessarily the opposition. He got some pitches to hit against Baltimore over the weekend. I was watching all those games, you know, hanging on it, knowing that I was going to jump on air for TSN if he did hit it. And he had some pitches that he just missed. And, you know, he's sort of hunting the bottom of the baseball a little bit with his launch angle. And I really think that if he were to just approach thinking, let me get base hits and try to catch the Triple Crown, I actually think he'd hit the ball in the ballpark. I think he's a little too far under the baseball right now, dropping that back shoulder, trying to lift it. And I think that if he takes his normal swing to think about driving it to right center field, I honestly think he'll hit a couple home runs. So we'll see. I mean, I'd feel horrible for him if he doesn't get the record and stays tied with Roger Maris. I mean, listen, there's no shame in it. It's just going to be anticlimactic, a little bit like what the Mets season is going to turn out to be right now as well after their tough loss last night.
Well, that's the perfect segue for me, Steve, because I was asking AK before you came on. I was like, man, can you believe the Atlanta Braves right now? They've taken over the division lead, but they just went into a series against the Mets and they beat Scherzer, DeGrom, and Bassett. Their top 3 pitchers. They did it with ease.
Dansby Swanson and Matt Olson homered in each of the 3 games. And Dansby Swanson, a free agent at the end of the year, is going to get himself a fantastic contract. He's had a tremendous season and a couple really good years. He's an offensive and defensive threat. He's exciting on both sides of the ball, consistent as can be, great leadership skills. And it's surprising that Atlanta hasn't signed him. Because they signed everybody else.
No kidding.
But him. And so, you know, he'll go to free agency. But he is a really special player, and Matt Olson is heating up. Olson couldn't buy a hit, you know, earlier in September. He's locked in right now. And the Mets pitchers, whenever they made a mistake, the Braves hit it out of the ballpark. Now, Atlanta has the most home runs in Major League Baseball. I think it's 241 right now. And, you know, their bullpen threw between the 2 games, 8 1/3 scoreless innings on Saturday and Sunday. And so, you know, one of those games was all the Mets really needed to win to be able to be in the tie there, to be able to have the home field, the tiebreaker as part of it as well. But they get swept. They're now 2 down with 3 to go. And, you know, they're going to play the Nationals, which is not a tough team to play. They're not very good. While the Braves are playing the Marlins, but the Mets have put themselves in a hole. And I got to tell you, you know, making the playoffs will feel like a failure to the Mets. And that's a bad feeling going into play postseason baseball.
Well, they were, 10.5 games up on Atlanta at one point in the season. And
here's the thing. There's no shame for the Mets. They played, I think they were 64-43 in the period of time where Atlanta, you know, went 74-33 or something. I mean, they played out of their minds. And so they played 770 baseball. They were on pace for 100. The pace since June 1st for Atlanta was a pace of winning 114 games. They were playing at an elite level, like what the Dodgers played all season long. And so there's no shame for the Mets. It just feels like a major disappointment and failure.
Steve, on Friday night, we got a chance to witness an historical moment in Seattle. Let's listen to it, and then we'll get into it.
3-2 to Cal. The pitch from Acevedo. A drive deep to right field. Down the line. The Mariners win this game 2-1. The dream lives. They're going to the playoffs. The drought is over. Cal Raleigh. Wow. Hey now. Hey now. Hey now.
Are you kidding me, Cal Raleigh?
Seattle will forever remember the name Cal Raleigh because I don't know if you saw the mascot that they just released in the NHL with the Kraken, Bowie.
Yeah.
What the hell was that all about, the troll? Anyways, Seattle ending the longest active playoff drought in sports. The last time they made the playoffs was when Ichiro Suzuki was a rookie in 2001.
He won MVP that year too, I think.
Unbelievable. How amazing was that, Steve?
Yeah, oh, pretty amazing. I tell you, they've had some great calls from their broadcasting team. The Eugenio Suarez home run earlier this year where they just, you know, hey, Eugenio, and he kept going and going and going. They've had some great calls. And they're a fun team. It's going to be an interesting matchup with the Jays, which seems to be, the likelihood is that it's going to be those two, likely Toronto at home. If not, it would still be these two with the potential likelihood they're playing in Seattle. I just don't think that Tampa's going to run the table at the end of the year to be able to displace anybody. So I think it's going to be these two teams going at it. Really good matchup.
Yeah.
Two teams that I do believe have the potential to still go to the World Series. Like I don't look at Tampa as that team necessarily right now with all of the different ways that they've pieced it together this year and the offense that is lacking at times. The Jays with Teoscar Hernandez rolling really look good when you add that other bat and depth to the lineup right now. With Bichette, the most hits in the month for any Blue Jays player with, what, almost close to 50 now. And so, there's a lot of great storylines for the Jays. But also, you're looking at Julio Rodriguez coming back in that lineup for Seattle, which is going to be a critical factor for them because he is one of the most exciting players in baseball.
Yeah, you might see Robbie Ray back in Toronto
as well.
I mean,
he's struggled lately, too. He's getting lit up.
No, he's had a couple of bad starts. I think he had, like, the vaccination issue, too, which is no longer a problem for Robbie Ray and the Mariners. Oh, gets going this weekend. We've got a couple more days of the regular season, and then the playoffs begin Friday. Oh, can't wait. Steve, we'll break it all down with you on Thursday when you join us next. Thanks for this.
Okay, thanks so much, guys.
He's our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. Yeah, the Jays were partying hard Friday night following the win over Boston. You see the picture that they, I guess, posted by mistake of Jordan Romano hacking the dart in the clubhouse?
Oh, yeah.
And I guess they deleted it. I don't know if that's like a fire code violation or whatever. I mean, what's the difference? You smoke cigars. Like,
I don't get it.
But, I really enjoyed that.
You're polluting the room as it is with all the champagne and everything.
Exactly.
But talk about like the awesome moment that was created, because obviously the Blue Jays clinched on their off day and they said publicly that faced a little bit of criticism, the fact that they would do their celebration after Friday night's game, regardless of the result. And lo and behold, you have Manoah step on the mound and just puts out a dominant performance. They go out and throttle, our new word.
Love that.
The Boston Red Sox. And they celebrate the way they should. You know, and look how loose they've played all weekend.
Well, it's the same as, remember when the Yankees clinched the AL East? They go out and throw it down on King West that same night.
And Judge hits his home run.
Judge hits his home run. Gerrit Cole's perfect through six innings. Yeah. Maybe the key to success in baseball is just getting after it. And the next day, you're like, all right, we really got to zone in here and focus. Yeah,
get in one.
I think Mackenzie Hughes was probably getting in one last night.
Was he ever?
What an incredible short game clinic from Mackenzie Hughes.
Chips Clinic.
He wins the Sanderson Farms, a playoff win for Mackenzie Hughes, his second career PGA Tour title. We'll get into that, and we've got to get into the Leafs, where Rasmus Sandin discussed what he did during the offseason to keep his mind off of his contract situation. We'll fill you in on that as well. As First Up continues on this Monday morning, this is TSN 1050.